Welcome to the daily VFN Radio Highlights, where we're keeping the conversation light at VFNTV.com. Enjoy.
Welcome to VFN TV. I'm your host, Greg Lancaster. We're so honored that you joined us. In a moment, John Ramos will be joining us, but I want to get right to the topic today. We're going to be talking more, a continuation, if you would, from the previous program, talking about the heart of our nation. We talked about legalities versus morality, law versus morality. What does that mean, and how do we as Christians, who live before God in view of His mercy and because of His grace, be empowered to do the best we can in walking out a life that most lines up, with what God is saying. It's like Paul said, the things I want to do, I don't do, but things I do that I hate. But then he goes, but Jesus Christ empowers me to do that. And it's like, well, nobody's perfect, but we can always say when you're walking with God, because of His grace, because of His goodness, I'm walking better than I was yesterday. And that's one thing we can do because we're constantly growing in it. But we have this big argument or view or discussion across the land today about legalism and laws, and that if you change a law, all of a sudden it's not wrong anymore. If you end a law, all of a sudden it's not right anymore. And it's just, the reality is, laws come, laws go. But God's law is forever, and it's written on the hearts of man. It's called the moral law. And we talked about that. You gotta go back and see that. You can see it at VFNTV.com. But there comes a day when you think about Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. and others that have stood, Billy Graham and Oral Roberts, and there's many more. I'm just going off the top of my head right here. George Washington, General George Washington, that we just stood up, and take a right stand at a very difficult time. It takes courage to be able to do that. When you think about courage, that you can put courage into people, but it's an environment today that where is courage, and why are people being courageous? We see it in sports where people scream and holler and they want their team to be able to win, and it's like they leave with this big exhaustion going like, phew, man, they burned all this energy out. But when it comes to living their life for God and fighting for their family and standing up for God, and it's like, where's the courage in that? And I think about Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. You think about these guys. They were living in a day when Israel was up under an evil government that had laws that were contrary to God. And so their moral behavior was contrary to what the law said. But you know what? That is what ahead and went with what God said. They didn't give in to the law of the land when it was immoral or unjust, because any unjust law is not a law at all, as Dr. Martin Luther King so informed us, as the accuracy of God's law and even our Constitution, because that's what it says. And so when you think about that, we need courage today, not courage to be religious zealots, not courage to try to push some sort of conservative mindset, just courage to stand, courage to say, I know that you don't like the way that I'm living my life. I know that you don't, that you, you know, it, some of my presence just causes, conviction in your life or whatever, and you think you need to change me. I love you, and I'm not gonna push myself on you, but I gotta stand for God because I love God. It takes courage to do that. And we're facing a day and time when you think about what's happening in the Middle East, you think what's happening and beginning to happen with businesses across the United States and ministries, that it's coming. It's like, are you going to please man? Are you going to please God? Are you going to please, your customer base, your corporate? You see corporations that are just immediately saying, we're going to go left, we're going to go right, we're going to go straight, we're going to go forward. But it's all based on money. That's where people saying, we're going to take your money from you. But this is what the Lord calls us to do. He calls us to stand for Him. This is what He says. He says it in Matthew chapter 10. He says that if you deny me before men, I will deny you before my Father in heaven. Think about that. In other words, the one that created the universe, that if we deny Him, He'll deny us before the Father, before God. But He says, if you'll confess me and acknowledge me before men, He said, I'll acknowledge you before my Father. I want you to take a look here. This is Bishop Harry Jackson speaking on a CBN interview about, this is kind of where we are talking about, we need courageous leadership. And then we're going to have also, Bernice King, the CEO of King, the King Center in Atlanta, how important these days are to begin to look at those who have stood for what's right and God responded. Take a look.
Religious freedom laws in states like Indiana and Arkansas are creating a debate across the nation with differing opinions, like conservative talk show host Bill O'Reilly calling out Christian leaders saying they aren't taking a stand. Joining me to give his insight on the matter is Christian leader Bishop Harry Jackson of Reconcile Church. Bishop Jackson, you're engaging the culture when it comes to this debate and other issues in America. In this case, would you say O'Reilly is correct?
I think that he is correct, but he called out the wrong people. He mentioned some names, such as Pat Robertson and other people, simply saying, hey, where are they now? But essentially, we have a church that is falling asleep. I believe that if you take a stand, sometimes there's a backlash. See, years ago, when they were debating the gay marriage versus traditional marriage issue in Washington, D.C., I was living in the district at that time. I had death threats, people slipping notes under my door, people following me through the city. The police even had to have a special surveillance of the place that I was living. It was an awesome, pressure-filled time. I went on O'Reilly Factor at that point, and he told the nation that folks had leaked my physical, personal address all throughout the region. Well, that's one of the reasons why people don't speak up. There are three things the average pastor fears more than anything. Mm. Number one, that he is going to be made a spectacle of on social media or in various avenues electronically these days. Your career can be over and ended in just a matter of days if you're seen in the wrong light. So they've got that fear. Secondly, many times within our congregations, there are people that sit there, they want to be encouraged, they want the word, but they don't want to be mobilized to do a lot. And so it really puts you in a precarious situation. Some pastors have been fired because of all that. Mm. And then third and finally, I believe that we're living in a day in which we have to come together in unity, like the Reconciled Church movement that you talked about earlier, that if we collaborate, we work together, then it's hard to pick out one person in the front of the line and take them out. I may speak up today, you speak up tomorrow, Pat Robertson speaks out next week, and that would be very powerful. So regarding religious liberties, yes, there seemed to be a silence, but many times the media does not want to play or give space or airtime to some of the voices that God has raised up. Mm. And so we need to come together, collaborate, work together, pray hard, and I think our voices will be heard.
I'm hearing your experiences as you stood up and continue to stand up for Christian principles and matters of faith. In light of how detrimental those experiences have been, what keeps you going?
What a question to ask appropriately. I believe there's a courage that comes to us as we pray, as we seek the Lord. I cut my teeth on watching things like Christian television, like the 700 Club, looking at people like Pat Robertson, John Hagee, many others, and their example has energized and encouraged me. So I believe that what's kept me going is the hope that we're going to get a critical, radical mass of people who are going to move together, and we're going to show the winsome, loving character of Christ, but we're also going to declare the truth as we understand it from the scriptures. So I think for years we've been working at telling the truth, at being a conscience to the nation. I think, however, at this time, there needs to be more of us committed to collaborating and working together.
What do you think God's message is to his people, the church, through these times?
Well, I believe that there is a message we shared on the 700 Club called the crumbling shield, that is the message, that the shield is crumbling and God is saying to us, wake up, wake up. I want to move on your behalf, but I need a critical mass of Christians, as it was in the days of Abraham, as he cried out to God about Sodom and Gomorrah. The Lord would have spared the whole culture if he had a critical mass, just 10 righteous men. And I believe that God is looking for a number of righteous church leaders, businessmen, politicians, and members, priests and prophets, who will speak up in his name.
And you are certainly one of those. Bishop Harry Jackson, thank you so much for your time.
Thank you much, Efren.
That's so powerful. You think about the three things: reputation, you know, I'm going to lose my job if I ask these Christians to actually do what I'm preaching to them, and the lack of unity. Those three things, we begin to stand up together in humility, in the love of God, you know, asking God to move, these things can happen. We can begin to turn, you know, the people, the soul of the nation. We're not trying to save a country. We're not trying to save a nation. We want to save the people in the nation, the soul of the nation. And when we get back from this break, we're going to hear from Bernice King, the CEO of King Center, Dr. Martin Luther King Jr.'s daughter, understanding that God calls us to a spiritual movement to impact our society and culture.
Yeah, that was Bishop right before the break, Bishop, you know, Harry Jackson. And I thought it was pretty powerful, you know, many things that he said. Mm-hmm. And but the three things I think that stand out in addition to critical movement, critical mass, is he said, you know, reputation. You know, why don't we do, you know, I just was just recently hearing I would say young minister, but we're not young anymore. Mm-hmm. We really are in our minds. And so he was talking about, you know, he was expecting his congregation to do something. So he's talking, you know, what God says. Mm-hmm. And the numbers started going down. And he was talking about, you know, basically preach this thing empty, you know. And it's, I think that's because we tried to do what God's called us to do in the confinement of something instead of the world.
Wow.
You know, it's difficult to speak to people that are not planning on doing what you ask, what mm-hmm. God says to do. And if your job is to be the message or messenger to deliver that message to a people who are not going to listen, that causes for a lot of therapy and yeah. other things like that. But then, you know, reputation, the world immediately is going to ridicule you. I mean, it's a weird how it works. I mean, you may have members of your own family when you start saying, you know, this is not the way God would want us to go. And all of a sudden, you always do this and you self-righteous and you, that's ridicule. And it's a typical process. And I wish I had those steps, but it says, you know, first they ignore you, then they ridicule you. Mm. Then they fight you, and then you win. Yeah. That's kind of the rules of something like that. And so many people give up, and they just don't want to be ridiculed. And it's like, well, if you listen, when you're walking and doing what God's telling you to do, you know, Jesus said, you know, even members of your own family will ridicule you. Mm-hmm. And you know, he talks about that in Matthew chapter 10. He said, "Don't suppose I came to bring peace, but a sword," mm-hmm. and to turn people that are not going to stand with him, they're going to be adversarial to you. And so ridicule, I think also, if you haven't gotten this book, you need to read the book, The Torch and the Sword, because this 12-year-old girl in this vision, it's a vision that, I mean, she just pushed past the ridicule. And one of the people in this vision that could not move past the ridicule was her very own mother. So she had to even leave her mother behind as she progressed forward. 12-year-old girl, and she wow. faced the inevitable battle in God. I mean, this is just how it always is. And today, people feel like they're right if everybody loves them. But Jesus said that beware when everybody's okay with you, because this is how they treat false people mm-hmm. that aren't real, the false prophets. And so the first thing he talked about was about reputation. You know, I mean, I guess go ahead and just throw it away if you know, just, you know.
Oh, that's right.
Like, brace yourself, because today, this, you can get reputation dot whatever.
That's it.
I mean, it is rough, and it's going to be rough. And let everybody know, write your own narrative before it happens, that who you really are. I think about Steve Hill during the Browns revival for years, and he just constantly said, you know, I was a thief and I stole from you and I did these things and these bad things and these things. And that's actually what encourages people to find out that we're sinners saved by grace. They want to know our testimony. And the thing is that outside of God, there's no difference in anybody. But when Jesus comes and saves us, it's Jesus that's the difference. It's not us and our righteous behavior. It's Jesus. Mm. And so let people know. And because the only good in us is God, and people need to know that. The second they start projecting, or you start saying, that you're good, you're setting yourself up for a fall, because even Jesus said, who are you calling good? The only good in me, Jesus said, is the Father. And so when we get past that good thing and get into the God thing, then you know we can begin to move. And another thing that he said was, and we're going to have Bernice King up in just a moment, powerful CEO of the King Center, daughter of Dr. Martin Luther King Jr., who would know better, you know, and understanding how to stand up for what's right. And the second thing you talked about was mobilization, you know, and you have to mobilize. And
third thing,
one of the things you talked about was the job. Mm-hmm. If you start losing your job as a minister, if you try to mobilize them and get them to activate and to do something, and you know, what part of don't you get that I'm not going to do something? Yeah. And what I think about James chapter 1, verse 22. You know, read that right there real quick, like through 25. Think about this, about being doing versus hearing.
Do not merely listen to the word and so deceive yourselves. Do what it says. Anyone who listens to the word but does not do what it says is like someone who looks at his face in a mirror and after looking at himself goes away and immediately forgets what he looks like. But whoever looks intently into the perfect law that gives freedom and continues in it, not forgetting what they have heard, but doing it, they will be blessed in what they do.
So there is a way to be blessed, and it's about being a doer. And when we get back from the break in a moment, we're going to talk about the third thing, and that actually is the unity, coming together. And this is what he says. He says the place of the command of blessing is when we do things together and do God's things together, not somebody's idea, things together. And but you have really like four different characteristics of people when you think about that. You know, if you're talking to people who aren't going to do it, you have, I guess you could say this, you have like people who are like hearers. They hear it and they love to hear it. Then you have people that are doers. They don't hear anything, they just do. Then you have people who are like hoodoo. You know, they are what they do. Mm-hmm. Don't you see what I'm doing? And then finally, you have the people that are hear-do. They hear the word of God and they do it. And he says they're blessed in all they do. So you got people that are, you put them in kind of like four different categories. And in regards to people that gather together as a church, right? You have some people, and the Word of God talks about this, who love hearing the Word of God. I mean, they just love it, you know, and they'll come on Sunday and they'll hear the message, right? And they'll go, oh my goodness. I've never heard a message. That was so good that I'm going to come back again next week, John, and I'm going to hear another one, right? Mm-hmm. And they love hearing it so much. It's like, you know what? I hear there's a conference coming to town. And you can hear like 3 days worth of good stuff, right?
That's right.
And so the person says, you're here. Because they're hearers. They don't only hear now. But they're so encouraged. Matter of fact, they may stay with you for 20 years hearing what you have to say, complimenting you, evaluating you, giving you report cards, what's going on, telling you you repeated yourself, right? And they're hearers of the word, but they're not doers of the word. They're here. So you have to understand there's a big difference between a hearer and a doer. Jesus, the word of God says, you know, they flattered me with their lips, but their hearts were far from me, right? And then you have the other folks. You know, I was talking to somebody one time and they were talking about, you know, I don't have any time to read the word. I'm just so busy and I don't have time really to go to church. But, you know, I love God. I just like doing for him. I'm just a doer. Yeah, I'm a doer. I just like doing. And so I do this good work and I do that good work. And if there's something going on, I go do this and go do that. And, you know, I'm just a doer. As a matter of fact, you have a lot of doers that come together for pancake breakfasts and stuff. And they go, you know, hey, how are you doing? Oh, I'm doing fine. What are you doing? Oh, I'm doing this. Oh, you are? Well, I'm doing this. Then next thing I got a competition. It's like, well, I'm doing this. And somebody else says, well, I'm doing that. And I'm doing more than you. It's like whoever has the biggest pile of do feels like they have the biggest pile of value, right? I call that the do-do meetings. And so then you have the hoodoo. Now, there's a lot of hoodoo going on, too. Now, hoodoo, not voodoo, but hoodoo. Hoodoo is what we find out in Matthew chapter 7 when Jesus talks about that you can actually move in gifts. You can sing, you know. You can dance in the Holy Ghost.
Oh yeah.
You know, you can preach. You can effectively use the name and the authority of Jesus Christ, and people can be delivered. And you can prophesy. I mean, Jesus says this. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, that's what you're doing. And, but then Jesus says, but I never knew you. But they don't care about that. These folks are like, you know, listen, you need to book me. You need to book me because, wow, you know, I'm an evangelist. And, and as an evangelist, and I love, I'm not saying anything against evangelists, sure, but we're just talking about the hoodoos. That they just, you know, you don't, they can't settle too long, because if they settle too long, you're going to find out, you know, who they are by their fruit. Mm. What I do is I think about Jim Baker. Jim Baker wrote a book, and in this particular book, he entitled it, what was it?
I was wrong.
And what he did was he thought hoodoo, because he would see people come and minister and gifts and prophesy and miracles would happen, but then he'd go have dinner with them, mm-hmm, and they were mean and hateful, and they just wouldn't line up with, but he just figured God doesn't have an issue with it. Mm-hmm. That's why his book's entitled, I was wrong. And so, but hoodoo's a big thing, because if you can play an instrument, I mean, they will actually put you on a stage and hire you. And somebody told me that one of the most important things in the church is people that involved in doing hoodoo things. Wow. Right? I'm like, oh, well, you know, why don't people just do it, you know, type of thing. And so, you know, music's a pretty powerful industry. You know, ask, you know, Star Search, American Idol, X Factors, and all those different things. They're looking for, you know, we will, if you can do that, man, we got some hoodoo going on. We can make some money on you. Mm-hmm. And there's no difference in that if we do that in God's folks. You know, one particular person, they, you know, said they were in ministry, and they actually were facing a lot of debt that was in front of them. Mm. So what they did was, this they openly said it. They just went and said, you know, I went and booked a lot of speaking engagements as an evangelist to pay off my debt. I'm like, you're telling me that's a good thing? Right. You went to all these different congregations that were pastored by these churches, that were pastored by these churches and took their resources to pay your debt off because you got a who on you, or you got, got some do on you, you know what I'm saying? And that's like a hoodoo. You know, and that's a big deal, because, you know, when you look at Paul was dealing with the Corinthian church, I believe, about, you know, they were tied up in like who can do this and who can do that. And he's like, listen, all these things are submitted to God. Every one of them are subject to the prophet, you know, that it's not about that. And then finally, you have the hairdo. And this is what God's looking for. And this is what Pastor Jackson was talking about when he was talking about in the interview, Bishop Harry Jackson, when he was talking about, you know, that we got to mobilize, we got to do something about this. And think about this, isn't it unjust if somebody's telling you you don't have to do what you're hearing, but God's going to say to you, away from me, I never knew you. He says, whatever I entrusted to you, you're going to have to do something with that, and you did nothing with it. You're not saved by works, but works is a byproduct of the very fact that you exist and love God. For example, you say you love your wife. Well, you come home sometimes. You know what I'm saying? Oh, no, I just, you know, and think about it. It's just something you do because you're married. There's something that you do. When you're a believer, you actually means you believe what he says, and you are his disciple. You follow his teachings. Following his teachings does not save you, but if you are saved, guess what you strive to do in view of his grace and his mercy? Follow his teachings. You've just been listening to the highlights from VFN-TV and the Daily Radio program, where we're keeping the conversation light. Listen or watch more programs and check out the VFN Torch at VFNTV.com. Don't forget about our VFN-TV app, where no matter where you are, you can take the light with you and share with your friends. We want to thank our sponsors and partners who make this program possible. Take the time and support our sponsors. You can locate them at VFNTV.com and select sponsors. If you'd like to become a sponsor or a partner, you can do so at VFNTV.com. VFNTV and the Daily Radio program, where we're keeping the conversation light.